Cape Talk. SMS Pepper on 31567.
Well, Jean has just done that from Rondebosch, and thank you, Jean, saying how uplifting this broadcast is. Well done, and God bless to all at Cape Talk and RX Radio, is the message from Jean. We've also had a lovely tweet from Sharon, who's listening, saying congratulations to RX Radio. What an inspired idea. I'm sure it will have a very positive impact, even helping them to heal easier. Well, we're about to find out, Sharon, because we are considering this broadcast live from the studios of RX Radio inside the Red Cross War Memorial Children's Hospital. And it's wonderful to hear from so many of you on our SMS line and our WhatsApp line your own positive experiences, either as patients or as parents of patients. And we'll try and share some of those a little bit later in the show. For now, though, I'd like to chat to two of the patients who are presenters on RX Radio and to one of their moms. It's a great pleasure to welcome them to our studio today. And I'm going to start with Tariq, who joins us now. Tariq, welcome. Nice to have you with us today.
Thank you. It's good to be here.
Tell us a little bit about yourself.
Well, I'm in grade 11. I'm 16 years old. I enjoy hobbies such as dancing, drama, playing video games, watching TV, and yeah, I like taking part in extramurals at school such as badminton and doing drama events at the school and okay. performing. Yeah.
So you're a busy guy. You're at Fishhook High School, is that
yes,
correct?
Yes, I am.
Okay. Now, how did you first come to be a patient here at this hospital?
Well, I suffer from a rare illness called cystinosis, but it was very hard to diagnose because there's only, I think, about 19 now in South Africa at this time. But just before I turned 3 years old, I was diagnosed here at Red Cross Hospital. However, at the clinic that was close to Ocean View, they diagnosed me with TB, which I never had. And my mom knew that there was something else. And then, yeah, at Red Cross, they diagnosed me with cystinosis, and since then I've been a patient at Red Cross Hospital.
Okay. Now, I know you've been through a lot in those years, struggling with this disease, struggling with the impact on your kidneys in particular, and with chronic renal failure, and been put on the donor list when you were 11 years old to wait for a kidney transplant. I believe that call telling you that your kidney had been found came on the morning of your brother's birthday. Is that correct?
Yes, not on the morning, in the evening.
In the evening. Okay. Yeah. How did you feel when you got that phone call telling you that a kidney had been found for you?
Well, I still remember I was watching Step Up 3. And then I just heard in the next room, I heard my mother speaking to someone. And then afterwards, I just heard she say, "Oh my word," and burst out into tears. And then I came and I didn't know what was happening. And she was just mumbling, saying, "God is good, God is good." And I was like, "Yes, he is, but what's happening?" And then she told me, "There's a kidney for you." And then I started shivering. I was like, "Wow, so everything's going to change now. My life's going to improve. It's going to be better." Yeah.
Obviously, it's a long road from there, Tariq, and how has your life changed in the ensuing
it's
time?
It's changed tremendously, more than I can actually explain. It hasn't exactly cured my illness or taken anything away, but it has improved my life and the life of my family. It was a long I had to recover first, so I had to be in hospital, then be a term away from school. I had to wear a mask. I had to take medication, which I still do now, and I could pick up germs and stuff quite easily, so everything around me had to be sanitary, always had to wash my hands, be in a clean environment. But since then, a year after the transplant, everything started getting better. My health, my immune system, I started doing sports, getting fit again, and being more involved in school.
That's fantastic. We're going to speak to your mom in just a moment about her perspective on what you've been through. But I really want to hear from you what it's been like for you being part of this radio station, Tariq. I watched your radio diary. It's fantastic. I saw you interviewing one of your own doctors, interviewing your own mom. What's it been like for you to be part of this?
Well, I actually first got into the radio in quite a weird way. So my physiotherapist that was helping me to recover while through the course of my operation while I was recovering, when me and my mother met her on another one of my appointments, yeah. So my mother told her that I'm doing quite well in school. I'm doing badminton, I'm doing dancing, and playing all these different types of sports and getting more active. And then she said, "Wow, seeing that he's doing all these different things, let me introduce him to the radio station downstairs." And that's where I met Gabs and the team, and they were talking to me and they said, "Would you be interested in being a part of the radio station?" And first I said no, because I've been so active now, I want to do something more like sport or something, or something like performance arts. And then I thought, wait, I actually want to study computer science. I like talking a lot, and that's what people tell me. I can share my story and when Wayne took me inside to this room, I fell in love with the room because it had so much technology around it.
Mm.
And that's when I went back to them and said, okay, I changed my idea. And since I got into the radio station, I've actually loved it more than I thought I would.
How have other patients in the hospital responded to your shows? I mean, do you think it is something that is helping to make their experience of the hospital easier?
I haven't actually gotten any response yet, but on my next show, I am considering going to my ward, the E2,
mm-hmm.
and asking children what do they think of my show and RX Radio. But in my own opinion, I would say that my show and all the other shows are helping the children, because me, myself, being in hospital, it's really boring just sitting there and mm-hmm. watching the same channels every day and just lying there. And you don't know who can you relate to, or something new is going to happen. The only time something fun happens is if we get visitors from the hospital, such as Jabulani doing all his funny tricks and pranks and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But being able to listen to someone and knowing that you can actually relate to them, or being educated by someone while you're in hospital, or being entertained and learning something new, that's quite amazing.
We think you're pretty amazing, Tariq. Thanks
Thank
for
you.
Joining us. I'd like to ask you to hand the microphone over to your mom, Kathleen, at this point, because I'm really interested to hear a parent's perspective on this journey. I mean, we're hearing some pretty amazing stories today from what the kids have been through. But, Kathleen, I can only begin to imagine what you have been through as the parent of a child fighting this rare disease that you'd probably, I mean, I'd never heard of it until this morning. To know that your child is one of only a handful of people in the country suffering from this condition, and that he has a long road ahead of him. Talk to us a little bit about what that was like for you as a mother.
Well, at beginning stages, when Tariq was still a baby, he was diagnosed about 2.5, as he said, and it wasn't always easy. It was quite tough and very traumatizing, but thanks to this amazing hospital, Red Cross War Memorial Hospital, that actually diagnosed him with the illness after struggling after a year and 8 months, like I said, where he was diagnosed with TB, which he never had.
Mm.
Things wasn't so good before his transplant. Mm. There was times when he was in hospital for months and I would never leave his side. I would always be with him when he's at hospital, and a lot of things happened to him before he had the transplant. This illness affects different parts of the organs, but after his transplant, it's been such an amazing journey.
Mm.
I can't explain what big difference it made in our lives. It's gotten much better. It hasn't cured him, but it's made his life so much better, and even mine, because Tariq, there's a certain medicine that they have to take. It doesn't cure you, but it stabilizes your life. And it's called Sister Amen, and it's got a terrible and a horrible taste.
Mm-hmm.
And he had all the time a gastrostomy in his stomach that I had to feed his meds through, which he had to take because to keep them going. And also, this illness, no matter how much you eat, you lose electrolyte. So I had to feed him through a feeding tube with a certain type of milk to build him up. And after he got the transplant, a year down the line, Tariq then managed to start taking his meds orally.
Mm.
So it was awesome after the transplant getting him to do those things, because it made him strong and he could handle the taste. Because before the transplant, even as he would go to school, he's got to take every 6 hour medicines, and they had a lot of medication that they have to take, and compliance of meds for any child, it's very important, and it's very tough. I mean, these times you've got your own life also, and you tend at times to forget, so you've got to do things to settle in, to remind yourself, even if it's on a phone or draw up some type of memo on your, put it on your fridge, stick it up for your times and things like that. But after the transplant, as I said, Tariq became stronger, and it's helped me a lot. We could then remove the gastrostomy, because he was strong enough to then take the meds by himself.
You must be so proud of him. I wish our listeners could see what I'm looking at, which is Tariq reaching out and holding his mom's hand as she teared up and I teared up there. You must be so proud of the journey he's been through, and his strength and courage in just not losing faith and not losing hope.
Yes, my son and myself, when we were in hospital, when he was always here, things got better. We became stronger because we persevered. And we came to learn and we adapted this four words with a P. And we said we're going to hang on to this, which is positiveness, prayerfulness, persevere, and patience. And it's helped us along our journey. And it made things better because we could always just hold on to our faith and we had hope that things would get better, and it has gotten. And I can really just thank the Lord for His amazing grace and unconditional love and His hand over us and each and every other sickly child, that they must never give up and just hold on because things can get better.
Such an amazingly positive message. Kathleen, thank you for joining us today, and well done to you and Tariq. What an inspiring story. We have another patient who's been waiting very patiently to talk to us today that I want to bring in before we run out of time, and that is a young lady by the name of Nangamso, who is, I think, 12 years old. Is that correct?
Yes.
Tell us a little bit about yourself.
My name is Nangamso Ngangani. I'm 12 years old. I'm in grade 7.
You're in grade 7 at school in Malibu. And how long have you been a patient at this hospital?
5 or 6 years.
Okay. Tell us a little bit about what brought you to Red Cross.
What brought me to Red Cross, my granny saw me that my upper body was not my normal body. But my mother thought that, no, I was fat. So my granny took me to the clinic the first time. And the nurse said that I had nothing. But my granny couldn't believe the nurse because she knows me very well, more than my mother. And we went again the second time, and there was another nurse, and the other nurse said, yes, we're going to take you to Khayelitsha Hospital. And when I got to Khayelitsha Hospital, they did a TB test, but I didn't have a TB. Mm. But they were struggling. They did a biopsy. Afterward, they were struggling about me. They couldn't figure out what was wrong. So they took me to Tigerberg. They did the same test, and they also did a biopsy. And they couldn't also figure out what's wrong. And they brought me here at Red Cross. Here at Red Cross, I did the same stuff, but immediately they took me to an echo and an ultrasound. And on the ultrasound, they saw my heart was floating in the water. So I had to go to the theater to go put a tube that goes inside of my body to go drain the water that's in my heart. So I was in E1 that first whole month until the water was out. And they diagnosed me of an SLE, and I don't know what is SLE. So the doctors told me, I asked them what's SLE. They said it's a long word that I don't remember, but I think I could figure it out sometime. But you can Google it. And then the doctor told me that I had a kidney failure. And that time, my tears just fall off my eyes. And I was like, oh my gosh, how did that happen? And my mother was also crying all the time. But I told my mother to never lose hope. Like, I wasn't also. But now they were telling me that not to eat salty stuff. Mm. Yeah, like chips. And chips was my favorite thing.
Oh. I could feel that pain. I do.
I was like, now my mom... But everyone in my family was supportive. They were not eating chips and all that salty stuff. Mm. And even in the food, they weren't putting salt. So now, when I went to dialysis, the doctor told me that I'm going to go to dialysis. And what dialysis do is does the kidney works, the kidney, yeah. So now, after I went to dialysis, I was like, I think it was on Wednesday, because I go Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. Now, I was talking to the nurses that work there in the dialysis room. I said, on December, I'm going to Eastern Cape. And they were like, why? You can't go to Eastern Cape because you in the dialysis. You must come every Monday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. And then I said to them, I am going to get a kidney. And they was like, okay, we're going to see about that. And then on next day, Thursday, I slept earlier on the Wednesday because I know on Thursday I'm going to go to school. I slept early, and I was sleeping in the bed. I heard my mother calling my brother. I was like, oh, mommy, you're making a noise. I want to sleep. Mm-hmm. And it's like, guess what? I said, what? You got a kidney. You're going to go to hospital. Mommy, am I dreaming? And I was like feeling my face. And I was pinching my mommy. I said, why are you pinching me? No, mommy, I think I'm dreaming. And my tears fell off my eyes. I said, I can't believe it. I can't believe it. Thank the Lord. And then my mommy went to take my granny to the other house because my granny lives with the other grandchildren. And then we came to the hospital and the doctor said, oh, my child, you have a kidney. And then the nurses that were working in the dialysis with me, and then they said, Nangamsi, you just talked about yesterday that you said you're going to get the kidney. And then I said, God is a miracle. He does respond your prayers. And I was like so happy, and now I could eat chips.
Nangamso, having been through dialysis 3-4 times a week to finally get that news that there was a kidney for you, I know that the journey for you in this hospital does not end with the transplant. Obviously, you've had a long walk back to health. Just before we go to news, can you tell us what it has meant to you to be part of this radio station in the hospital? How has it changed your experience here?
The first time I came to this radio, I was actually on my appointment. The first time I got to my appointment after I got a kidney, I saw Yoli on the day ward. And she was talking to her other sister, and the other sister called me. I was like, who's this lady? And then she said, this lady is an RX radio lady. She wants you to be involved with the radio. And then I said, I love to experience stuff. So I was like, I also love singing. So I thought I was going to sing in the radio, but I didn't know what actually radio is about. So I was like, okay, I will be in the radio.
Well, you're this good already at 12 years old. I think I'm going to have some threat for my chair by the time you get to 18. Nangamso, thanks for being with us today to share your story. Thank you to Tariq and Kathleen as well. It's incredibly moving and powerful to hear the stories of what this hospital has meant to you all. And our very best wishes go with all of you.